Ephesians 6, we'll be in verse 10 through 18 in a few seconds. I want to kind of review where we were last week. I asked the question last week, which one describes you? A ready person, a prepared person, or a reactionary person? This is a person that as things come along, you figure it out. Each of us, I believe, if we look at our life, would say that there are areas that we are prepared or ready, and there are areas that we are reactionary. My battle with dry hands continued on this week. I think it was Wednesday. I actually attempted to do this. I squirted the lotion bottle on the back of my hands and tried to rub them like this. And Rachel said, "You're ridiculous. Let me do that for you." And so the battle continues, but we talked about being reactionary in areas of life. There comes a time where we, at some point, realize the importance of being ready in areas of life, and so we then react by becoming ready or prepared in certain areas, and then other areas we're still reactionary. I think each of us could say there are certain areas of life where we are both. What about spiritually? Are we ready spiritually? Do we have an ongoing relationship with Christ, or are we reactionary in our faith? Do we pursue Him only when things are bad, or when we hit those valleys, when things start to fall apart? Last week we looked at six reasons why we need to be ready. These are the important reasons to be ready, and there's more within Scripture, but there's six main ones that I pointed to last week. This points to the importance of preparation so that we have a desire to be ready. This is the why. I want to be ready because God commands me to be ready. I want to be ready because there is spiritual warfare going on all around me and in my life. I want to be ready so that I can stand firm in Jesus throughout my life. I want to be ready so that I will take action in my faith. I want to be ready so that I will do the good works that God has prepared in advance for me for His glory. I want to be ready because Jesus is returning, and I want to be found serving Him faithfully. Those are the six areas that we went over last week. This week, we're going into the how. The why was last week, the how is this week, and we're going to start into this how, looking at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We had a challenging prayer, or a prayer challenge at the end of last week where I said this, to pray this week, Lord, prepare our hearts to want to get ready. Many of us need to get to that point where we desire to prepare. We know the importance of it, and now we have to start to develop, God has to develop within us a desire to be ready so that we will do it. And so we challenge you with that as we closed last week. Let's jump ahead, let's jump back into Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and we'll read that, and then we'll get into this week's study. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take our stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this, with all perseverance in intercession for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, here you call us to be prepared, to be ready. It's commanded of us. And so, Lord, help us to, now that we've realized the importance of readiness, to desire to be ready. And so, Lord, reveal to us today through your word the how. How can we be ready, Lord? Lord, teach us. Lord, prepare us. Holy Spirit, convict us in areas that we are not lining up with your word. And Lord, help us to live it out. Not just absorbing knowledge, but applying it, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to start in verse 10. In verse 10, you may have to go back to go to verse 10 on the overhead there. In verse 10, we have the first how. In verse 10 says this, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. How will we be ready as Christians in our Christian walk? We must be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Do you understand how strong the Lord is? I don't think we get it. I don't understand it fully. Paul actually prays that the church would understand the strength of God over in Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. Or actually 17 through 19. So in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, Paul writes this. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? So he prays for them to understand. To understand, to have this revelation, this wisdom, this knowledge of him. And then he says this, I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened so that you may know. And he goes on to list three things that they may know. He says this. He's praying for their minds to understand, to be enlightened, so that they may know this. Okay? What is the hope of his calling? Okay, that's one. What are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints? That's two. And here's three. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? He's praying that their mind would be enlightened so they would understand, they would know what is the immeasurable. You can't measure it. Greatness of his power. And it says this, to us who believe. Who's the power to? Those who believe. According to the working of his vast strength. For us to be ready, we must be strengthened by the Lord, by his vast strength. And so how in the world can we be strengthened by something that we don't understand? Paul here is praying that the church would start to comprehend his strength, God's strength. And so this is key. For us to be ready in the power of God, for the power to be ready comes from God, and so we have the power of God. For us to be ready in that, we need to, like Paul, pray and keep praying for understanding and readiness. Paul sets the example there as he prays for understanding for the church. We need to continue to pray in this as he did in verse 17, in verse 18 that we just read in Ephesians 1. The immeasurable greatness of his power, the vast strength listed there in 17 and 18. Have you ever prayed that? I haven't. Have you ever prayed that you would understand the immeasurable power of God, the vast strength of God? Maybe as you pray that, just go over to Genesis 1 and just read that, where the words of God create everything that we know. And that will start to bring a little bit of the understanding of the power of God. For us to have the power of God and to realize we need to be ready in it, we need to seek and keep seeking Him in Scripture. That's another example that is set here in verse 17. As he says, the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Where's the revelation of God that we have today? We have it within God's Word. He reveals Himself in His Word. And so Paul is praying that they would understand through this revelation. And so Paul sets the example that to be ready within God's power, we need to be in God's Word. 2 Timothy says it this way, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, very well known verse, says this: all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be completely equipped, or complete and equipped for every good work. And so we have this example set here that as we get into Scripture, it will make us complete and equipped. Those are ready. That's being ready, right? Complete and equipped is ready. And so as Paul sets the example here within Ephesians 1 of praying for them to understand the revelation of God, to have the knowledge of Him, and to understand the vast strength, to get that, we must get into His Word so that we understand His power. To be equipped, we must connect to the One who equips. And He does that through His Word. The power of God is what we're called to be ready in. And so we also need to admit our inability on our own. We have this praying that set the example by Paul. We have this seeking knowledge within His Word that's set an example by Paul. But we also need to, like Paul, admit our inability on our own. You see, we live in a world that we don't want to really admit our inability, because the world is based on abilities. The more abilities I have, the higher I rise within this world. And so for us to admit our inability stands in opposition to what everybody around us is doing. But as Paul here in verse 10 of Ephesians 6 says, finally be strengthened by the Lord in His vast strength, he's not telling us to live under our own strength. So he's setting the example here of saying, you need God. Every single one of us needs the strength of the Lord, not your own strength, to do this. Our inability, apart from Christ, is key in our spiritual lives. We must realize our inability apart from Christ. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10 says this: but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insult, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures. Anybody take pleasure in pressures, persecutions, catastrophes, insult, and weakness? Here's why. Because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you realize your inability to be ready apart from God? It's key. We must realize this. Philippians 2:13 says this: "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you, making you able to live this out, both to desire to do it and to work out his good purposes." So who's given us the ability, the desire to even want to live for him? Who's given us the ability to be able to live for him? God is. And so with this passage, we realize that I cannot do it. I need God's power to do it. This week, I attempted some car repairs, and I'm not a mechanic. I can do some little things here and there. I'm skilled enough not to destroy something because I know when to stop and go, well, that probably shouldn't have come off. Let me call somebody who knows what they're doing. But this week, we've had this knocking behind our dashboard in our van. And we told the kids that it was an elf that we had locked in there. And it was Clarence. He was trying to get out. And so that was kind of funny during Christmas time because they'd be like, "Hey, it's Clarence. It's knocking on the dashboard." And January hit and it wasn't funny anymore because it's just getting annoying because it just keep on going for like a mile down the road. It's knocking and then it would stop. And so I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to figure out what this is. And so I did a little research. I asked the wise ones, the internet, what this could be. And also, we were driving down the road, and it was like 0 degrees out, and our car told me it was 102. I liked what my car said a little bit better than the outside temperature, but I knew that was off too. So I did a little research. Okay, what's going on? Why is this telling me this? And so I got some answers and I decided I was going to take apart the dashboard. Hey, I did it and I put it back together just like that. Okay. So it was really only like one half of it. And so I took apart the passenger side. I realized that I don't even know what it's called. This is how inept I am with car repair. There's this little door that like opens and closes that allows the inside air when you're circulating the inside air and you put it so it's not bringing outside air. Yeah, that door. It was like the gear wasn't catching. And so that it's supposed to open it up so it lets the outside air in, and then when you switch it over, it closes so it just circulates the inside air. Well, it's just sitting there going, kung, 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 literally for the first 2-3 minutes of your drive, just sitting there doing that. And so I figured out after taking off the dashboard that I didn't need to do that because I could have got underneath, but being a bigger guy, I don't fit underneath very well. And so I finally figured out, okay, through the internet, through the searching, in my inability, that this was the problem. So now I had to figure out, how do I fix the problem? So I started taking off the cover, and I was like, well, let me not do that. Let me see if I can get to it from underneath. And so then I dropped down the actual fan, and I realized that, okay, this fan, it actually moves pretty fast, so it probably wouldn't be smart for me to start the car, then run to the other side while this fan's going, because it could, like, fall over and, like, shoot up in the air or whatever. So I had to call for help. So I said, "Rachel, will you come please start the car while I try to figure out what's going on?" And so I figured it out as I messed with it. But there came a point in my inability that I had to recognize my inability. I had to call out for help by searching the internet and for asking Rachel to come help me. And then I had to do some searching to hear the sound, to listen. And so I'm calling out, I'm seeking and searching, I'm recognizing my inability. That's exactly what we need to do in our spiritual lives. We need to recognize that we cannot be ready under our own power. And so we call out for God. I need you. I can't do this. And so we start to seek within his word, how do I live for you? How do I be prepared? And then we take that and we do something with it. You react like we fixed the car this week and it's running and there's no more knocking. But you had to go through this process of recognizing your inability under your own power to do it, the seeking, the searching, the calling, the reading. And I encourage you, if you want to be prepared, you have to do that in your spiritual life. You cannot do this under your own power. It is God's power that will equip us to be ready and his power alone. So call out for that. Ask for his power. Pray, seek him, get into his word. And then start to apply. And we'll get into that a little bit more. There's a reason that Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. He is not only the way to salvation, he is the only way, the truth, and the life for salvation, but he is the only way we can live for him. He is the way, the truth, and the life for us to live for him. And so we must be and remain connected to him. Going on to the second how. How will I live for him? First of all, we must call out for his power or seek his power. It's only under his power. And so we have that admitting our need, the praying and seeking and keep on at that. But next is number two. And it's in verse 11 and then also in verse 13. And so I invite you back to Ephesians 6, looking at verses 11 and verse 13. It says this, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is all talking about our battle is against Satan and the demons. That's where the battle is. They're trying to keep people from following Christ. And to keep us from following Christ and winning people over around us, making disciples around us. Verse 13. This is why you must take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand. There's two key sections here, or two key phrases here. You must put on and you must take up. We must purposefully take action in preparation. Do you remember the last time that you fell down and all of a sudden you stood up and you were covered in armor? No? Do you remember the last time you fell out of bed and you got up and you were dressed for the day? No, you purposefully put things on, right? Socks, shoes, underwear, all these things, maybe not in that order, but a little bit different order. And so pants, belt, you get ready for the day. You walk out of the house and you forgot something. You're like, okay, what did I forget? Okay, I don't have my wallet. I don't have my phone. I have my keys, so hopefully I don't get pulled over. Looking at the cops in the room. And so we purposefully take each part and put it on. No one falls into preparation for the day. Anybody have a suit of armor we could borrow? We'll just set it right here and I'll push you into it and see if you get into it. No, it's not going to happen. Let me give you an example here. Most of you know I coach Little League Baseball, right? Little League Baseball. This is what was under there that they kept on wondering what was under there. Did it scare you? Do I need to tell you when I hide stuff under here? You should just know there's something under there. Rick is going to mess around. Okay, so Little League Baseball, when you coach these kids, you have to get them into their catcher gear. And so there's a full suit of armor that goes into catcher gear. And so you got the chest protector here. Okay, Rodney, you want to be my model? You can put this all, I'm just playing. You don't think so? We have shin guards. This is part of knee savers. Those are key. Those are nice. And so we have all this catcher gear here, and we have a glove. And if the guy's a really good pitcher, we got a first aid kit. And so we go on, and we have this helmet, right? This is all catcher's gear. So if I put this in this bag, and let's say I had a really big bag or a really small person. I know Mildred's not here today, so I can't make the example. We mess around. And I put you inside of here, and I shook you up. There's probably some dust that's going to fly out. So if you're the cleaner this week, I'm sorry. And I shook it up, and then I opened it up. Would you be in the armor? Okay, whatever happens to come on you while I'm shaking you up and rolling you around, then I'm going to take you to a major league ballpark. I'm going to set you down behind the plate, and I'm going to have Justin Verlander throw at you. Are you good with that? Anybody? Whatever, you can only come out with what happens to get on you while I'm shaking you up. Nobody? He only throws like 98. I mean, that's not, there's people that throw 102. So like 98's like nothing. See, just like no matter how much I shook you up, that stuff isn't going to fall on you. And it's all there. Everything you need other than a cup is there. That would be key too. You want that. And so, just like this, by us coming through the door on Sunday, and us sitting here, and us hearing the word spoke, everything we need is right here. If I don't put on, if I don't take up, if I don't purposefully take action to what is there, I just hope it absorbs. If I just hope that something may stick to me as I'm shaken up and I'm here, I'm not going to be ready. And so each and every single one of us, we must purposefully take each part of this armor. And we're going to get into the armor next week. We're going to break down what is the armor that it's talking about. And who knows, I may be in full catcher gear next week preaching this. I don't know. It's actually kids' catcher gear, so I need some adult if you have that. You're not going to fall into readiness. You have to be. You have to be purposeful. And here's what we're called to take up in verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. Truth like a belt. Righteousness like armor on your chest. Feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel. In every situation, the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. So what are those? We're going to get into that. But for us to be ready, the how is those two things that we talked about today. We must be strengthened by the Lord, by His vast strength. That means to be ready in His power, we need to pray and keep praying. We need to seek and keep seeking Scripture. We need to admit our inability and realize God's ability and keep on praying and keep on seeking and keep on praying and keep on seeking and keep going. And then we must purposefully take action to what God reveals we need within His Word. And as God reveals things, we put it on, we take it up, and we go and we're ready. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to live for You. That You'll help us to follow You, Lord. Jesus, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, as You revealed today that we cannot be ready under our own power, help us to realize that, to admit it, and to call out to You, and to seek You, and to call out to You, and seek You, and keep on going, Lord. And Lord, as we dig into your word, help us to take it up. Help us to put it on so that we are ready. Lord, as next week we go into what is this armor, guide us. Teach us, Lord, through your word. We pray this all in your name, Jesus, because we cannot do it on our own. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.